I believe a part of my calling is to help people learn faith, and a lot of our faith has to do with our believing and speaking. And I was blessed to speak December 16th, 2012, a little before you all got here, and the name of the message was There's a Miracle in Your Mouth. Tonight's message for you sound people is change your words, change your life. The rest of you look like sound people too, sound, spirit, soul, and body, right?
Amen.
All right. And the name of the message back in December 12 was There's a Miracle in Your Mouth. We talked about how God created everything by speaking it into existence. As we saw in Genesis 1, we learned in Ephesians 5:1, we're to be imitators of God. And we can speak to mountains in our lives with faith and move them. We learned that there is unlimited power in faith, and faith is released in words. Before we go on much further than that, I want to talk about confession, since that is such a big part of our faith life. If our mouth is a faith gun, let's talk about this being like a weapons handling course, about proper ammunition, loading, handling, and firing before you fire that gun. You know, when they hand a gun to a soldier, you know, out on the field, you know, they're going to take him and train him a little bit before he starts shooting that thing over the place. So we want to be a little wise with our words. Now, I'm going to do a lot of reading. I put this in the radio program as a reading thing, but I'm going to try not to read it all solidly. So we'd like to speak about the confession of our mouth, the words of our mouths. Everything that we've been given in life, we're to be good stewards over, and that includes our mouths and our speaking. And they're high on the list. We're a three-part being. We're spirit, soul, and body. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. We live in that body. When we got born again, we received Jesus as our Savior and Lord of our lives. Our spirit was made alive and new, born again. But our souls and body need a lot of help. Let's turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2. If anybody gets that, can read it in their best playground voice. Good playground voice, buddy. All right, and we do that with the Word of God. We get our mind transformed by the Word of God. By daily reading and studying the Word of God, we replace wrong thinking and wrong thoughts with God's thoughts and way of thinking. And by changing our thinking to be more like God's, it'll help us to choose our words better, which can help us make everything better. It'll help us to submit to God, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, as 12:1 just said. With continued growth in this, it'll help us to give our souls and bodies as vessels of service to our spirit where the Lord lives, allow Jesus to rule in his kingdom inside us. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within us, so he had to be able to rule in his kingdom. So our bodies and our minds have to be subject to our spirit where he lives. Now that we're getting this dynamo lined up, we need to feed the right fuel too. People put the right fuel in a jet plane to make it fly fast and soar high, and you put the right fuel in your vehicle to make it run right to get you where you're going. So we need to put the right fuel in our spirit, and the right fuel for our spirit is the Word of God. When we plant the right words, His Word, in our hearts put out a spiritual force called faith. As the Bible says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Psalm 37:30, if somebody look that up and read it for me, please. Psalm 37:30. There are a lot of people, a lot of times in life, have trouble and problems in their life, and they don't realize that the problems that they're having is because of the words they've been saying. Like someone said, if you don't like what's going on in your life, quit saying what you've been saying. Change your words, change your life. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30, 19, and 20. Somebody like to read that, please. 30, 19, and 20. Here he gives us a choice and even gives us the right answer to choose. Let's look at Proverbs 18, 20, and 21, please. And somebody read that for us. Proverbs 18, 20, and 21. Here he tells us how to make that right choice. It's with our words. As we see in these scriptures, there's a lot of power in words, death, and life. When we're trustworthy with our mouths and growing up in faith, then God can turn the power of the Holy Spirit up in us. Just as you don't just give your 7-year-old child a machine gun and tell him to go out and be careful. You know, you got to train him up slowly first. Maybe get him a little dart gun, you know, with a target, you know, and just a little trust with that. You work them up to a BB gun and later on to a pellet gun and up to where you want them to be after they're trustworthy, you know. We're out hunting with you out in the field enjoying those good things, but there's a trustworthy thing you've got to build up to. You've got to be trustworthy and mature. And it's the same thing with us. We have to be trustworthy and mature with our mouths. There's a lot of power in our mouths, death and life. We're going to be talking about that here. The Word of God says in Colossians 2.15, but let's turn to Colossians 2.15, please. Somebody read that, please. So we see that the devil was left powerless when Jesus went to hell after the crucifixion and defeated him. Since Jesus stripped him of power, and the only thing he can do now is to try to deceive people if they'll let him. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Somebody read that for me. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Yeah, we don't want to be ignorant of his devices, and we want to stay that way. You got to be wise. One of the biggest deceptions that he has is to get people to speak his words instead of God's words, thus turning the power of their mouths against themselves. And we don't want that. Somehow, through all these years gone by, the enemy has planted his words and sayings throughout the human languages, you know. And these are like landmines in the vocabulary, which bring death to those who partake of them. Death by degrees. It may just be a little bit at a time, but it works to the same end, death and destruction. If someone drank a little poison every day, the result may not show up right away, but over a period of time, it's going to take its toll. So we want to avoid this poisoning. Here are some words of wisdom from the scriptures. I'll read this one. Psalm 141:3 says, and you can write this down if you like. This is good. Psalm 141:3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Now, this would be a great daily confession for everybody before you start today, before you start using that gun, you know. James 1:19. Let's turn to that one together. James 1:19. If somebody would read that for me, please. I ran out of bookmarks, so I got to look it up like you guys now. Well, that's a good idea. That could help us. You know, if we think before we speak, how many people have wished they had done that, you know, over the mistakes they made? I did. I'm sure this will save us from a lot of trouble. Here's another verse that lets us know the seriousness of word choices. Let's go to Matthew 12:36. I think you need a good foundation of the word. Or what you're speaking about. Boy, that's serious stuff. The Amplified Bible says, for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. Since we're accountable for every word we say, let's trim off the excess, you know, and off the excess weight from our speech, thereby hopefully streamline our lives into a better heavenly flow. You know, it can be helpful to have somebody help us, you know, a spouse or a friend team up with you to kind of help you with your confession when you mess up. But you got to be loving and kind, because after you get rebuked about 20 times for the messing up, you know, it's not easy to stay real friendly and lovely. But if you walk through that, you know, if you team up with somebody, you appreciate it in the end, you know, because it's something that iron sharpens iron. It'll help us, you know, and we want to be perfected to be more like Jesus, and we want to stop hurting ourselves with wrong words, you know. I'm going to tell you about some of the landmines in this that are in the languages. This is not an all-inclusive list. I'm sure there are many more. This isn't to make anybody feel bad or ashamed about anything they did. We've all made mistakes. You know, it's just like any sin or mistake. We admit it, and quit it, and go and be grateful for the change, you know. We like to change to be more like Jesus. And some of these may sound kind of petty. When I tell you these, you'll say, oh, come on. But after just reading some of the things we read about what Jesus said about the seriousness of our words, consider it, you know. Now, everyone here has God's home phone number. If you don't believe what I say, give him a call. Ask him what he thinks about this. You should do that with anybody. You just don't believe what somebody says. You know, you got to check with your spirit, check with the word, make sure it's right on. here's one. Oh, I'm just dying to go. I'm dying to try that. You know, if we don't want death, we need to get death out of our speech. Have you noticed how many death is in the human languages? What's the end of a road? Where the road quits? A dead end? Why can't there be a live end? You know? God told a great man of God one time, he said, I told my people they can have what they say, but they keep saying what they have. Don't say what it looks like, say what you want. And it's a process of training. It's a faith process. It's a growth process, and it's a good process. I'm sure a lot of you are already on the way there, you know, but it sure is good to be encouraged again, you know, to keep improving. Like I said, we need to say what we want, not what we don't want. In other words, speak the answer, not the problem. Now, if somebody's got a cold or a flu or anything, don't say those words, oh, I just can't get rid of it, it won't go away. Don't feed it power with your words. Say what you want it to do. No, I'm redeemed from the curse. You're leaving in Jesus' name. By his stripes I'm healed. You're gone. Speak to that thing. Take authority. Don't feed it power with your word. Here are some other ones. My feet are killing me. Well, maybe it's their mouth instead, you know. That makes me mad. That drives me crazy. That blows my mind. You know, we need to get those words spoken out of our mouth, not spoken out of our mouth. We need to have nothing to hurt our minds, you know, to protect our minds. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Somebody look that up for me, please. 1 Corinthians 2:16. It's a short one. I'll read that one. It says, we have the mind of Christ. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So that's what we have. We have the mind of Christ. You can speak that over your mind, you know. He's given the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I have a sound mind, you know. Speak what you want on your mind. Here's one I really don't like. You never know. Now, why would anybody ever want to say that? When a person is saved, they have the Holy Spirit inside them, who has the all-knowing part, knows everything. He can get that information to us. Now, there are some things he doesn't. You know, like there's a scripture in Deuteronomy, I said, if the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And God has a lot he can reveal to us, but don't cut him off by saying, oh, you never know. Don't cut him off. Couldn't you imagine an angel coming up to your angel and says, the Father God wants your human to have this information. Why aren't you getting it to him? Well, I'm trying, but he keeps saying, you never know. He blocks me. You know, there is a scripture that says, don't frustrate your angels. Oh, that makes me sick. Oh, I'm getting sick. Thought I was going to die. Thought I was going to have a heart attack. Look, you don't need to speak words like that on your health. You don't need to give the enemy any foothold in your health. You know, and I'm not saying y'all did this, but I'm just saying, boy, we don't need to say these words. These words are meant to bring harm. We need to say, like 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I am healed. I was healed, I am healed. Speak what you want. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Sometimes the words a person says can hurt other people, not just themselves. I know a man of God, he was praying in a prayer line for people and had a little boy come up to him. He was praying for a little boy who was cross-eyed. He prayed for that little boy, and the little boy's eyes went straight. Without thinking, he said, I don't believe it. And the little boy's eyes went back crossed. I don't have a good end to the next story. Hopefully something good happened and got it changed, but that's just to let you know, words can hurt other people too. So this is a serious thing we're using here. Oh, I can't believe it. That's unbelievable. Those must be straight from hell. Mark 9:23 says, all things possible to him that believes. Luke 8:50 says, only believe. You know, believing is a big part of our faith. All things possible to him who believes. These words have come to try to short-circuit your believer. We don't need that. What damage is a person doing by saying these terrible words? Are they shutting off their believer switch inside? By speaking these words, this is dangerous. James 1:26. Somebody look that up for me, please. James 1:26. Okay, by not bridling his tongue, saying the wrong words can deceive the heart. You don't want to deceive your heart with wrong words. That's serious stuff. We are designed to believe everything we speak. We're designed to believe every word we speak. Then the good words of God that we speak produce faith and give us the victory for the situation we're facing. Don't speak wrong words to shut down the faith production in your heart. We don't want to get the enemy to bind us up or snare us with wrong words. These are some other ones. You know, we said this years ago. Gosh, you wish you'd never said it. Shame on you. Shame is a tool of the devil. I don't want to put that on nobody. You know, now that we get a little light, oh, man, I'm not saying that no more. Or call somebody a fool or an idiot. You know, there's warnings in the Bible that talk about suffering possibly hellfire by saying words like this. We don't need to say words like that. This is one of the worst ones. I'll be, and the word begins with a D, and I'm not talking about darned, you know, D-A-M-N-E-D. Eternal separation from God and hell forever. Why would you say that? Talk about deception, how these words were put into our human language. I mean, that's a terrible one. Now, here's one that may not seem too serious. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The Bible says sorrow not. Are you planting seeds of sorrow in you by saying, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Think about it. Other wrong words, pain in the neck or some other area of your body. If you don't want a pain there, don't call for it. Don't call for it. Now, some of these, like I say, may seem minor or petty, but they're not. Wrong words are wrong, even if they're seemingly small. Now, here's another one that may seem a little funny to you, but loving things. Oh, I love my car. I love my house. I love pork chops. I love steak. I love mashed potatoes and gravy. The Bible says about love, to love God, people, and things. About things, let's look at 1 John 2:15. We're not too far from there. We're in James. 1 John 2:15, if somebody would read that, please. Man, I mean, that's pretty plain, isn't it? You know, we didn't realize before was how we talked. You know, it's something we kind of got ingrained with, but something we need to break away from. That could deceive your spirit, too, because your spirit knows God is love. And it throws it a curve when you say, oh, I love that dog. Well, you probably love your animal. I suppose that might be illegal. You know, but you know, I love my car, house, all that stuff. That's like your spirit man knows what love is. Like one man said, you know, God doesn't mind us having things. He don't want things to have us, which would be like covetousness or greed. So 1 Timothy 6:17, I'll read this and you can look it up if you want, but 1 Timothy 6:17 B, that God gave us richly all things to enjoy. So we can like them, we can enjoy them. God gave them first to enjoy. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Enjoy them and like them, enjoy them, but don't love them. Love God, people, and what's good, what's right. So speak right words concerning love, for God is love. Here's another really bad one. Oh, I swear. Do you know how bad that is? James 5:12, we're not far from there. Let's go to James 5:12, let's take a look at it. Somebody read that for me, please. What was the first four words he said? But above all things? Is this important? But above all things? Wow, my brother, swear not. Matthew 5:37. Let's take a look at Matthew 5:37. When you bring these things to the light of the Word, it makes it easier to see what we're talking about, you know. You say, hey, God's taking this thing seriously. Man. People are responsible for what they say. If you say something, you need to fulfill it. Let's look at Deuteronomy 23:21. Deuteronomy 23:21, please. See, it's serious stuff. You know, when you swear, even though somebody say, oh, it's just like a thing thrown in the human language, oh, I swear, you're binding yourself to those words. So if you put some words out there in a vow, oath, or swearing, you have to fulfill it. Better yet, don't speak those words. You may say, but I'm not saying to God, you know, I'm just saying it. Well, if you're a child of God, you have authority and power in your words. You're responsible for what you say. We need to realize, as God said in Jeremiah 1:12, you don't have to look it up. You can write it down if you like. But he's watching over his word to perform it. He's waiting for us to speak his word so he can fulfill it. Because he said his word would return void. He sent it down, we sent it back up, and he sent it back down with the answer. That's good stuff. Unfortunately, the devil's waiting on you to speak his word so he can act on them, so he can fulfill them. We don't want to give him place. People give the devil access or place. The Bible talks about don't give the devil any place. You give the devil access or place, or a person does, not you, when they speak his words or partake of any of his stuff, like fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, fear, unbelief, stuff like that. Don't be caught with any of that in your possession. If you got to stand there with your knees knock and say, I resist you, fear, I ain't giving in to you, get out in Jesus' name. Faith is a victory that comes to the world. I'm filled with faith. Speak the word to that thing. got to find my place. Other bad words, talking death about your mind, body, health, or aging. You know, it's not cute or funny to make cute little jokes about losing our memory, any problems with our age or health or body. It's not funny to speak any words that do any further damage. Speak the word. I have the mind of Christ. The memory of the just is blessed. Thank you, Lord. Restore my soul, mind, will, and emotion. Thank you, Lord. I don't have a spirit of fear, but I have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. My youth is new like the eagles. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Speak that word over yourself. Even if the symptoms try to throb and beat you and you're feeling the pain, speak the word. Afraid so, I'm afraid, oh, I'm afraid so, afraid of this, afraid of that. We need to get the fear up. You know, fear is perverted faith. And perverted faith is faith in the devil's power to hurt a person. We don't want to give him any place with fear. Now, you don't have to look this up, but Matthew 25, 32 through 46 talks about the separation of the sheep and the goats. Now, the sheep inherit the kingdom of God, life eternal. The goats get everlasting punishment, you know. Baby sheep or lambs, baby goats or kids. I suggest not calling children kids, call them children. But this is one I had trouble with because called children kids for years. But I'm trying to break it. I haven't got it broke, but it's just I just don't want to call a child a goat. So let's not put any ungodly tags. Another one, oh, isn't he a ham? Well, you know, I don't think we ought to put that on anybody. In Genesis, Ham did some sort of sin, some wicked sin that brought a curse on his whole family. Other words to eliminate. Oh, I don't know. I forgot. Forget. Don't remember. I can't hear you. Find a place to think how you can say something, say that in a more positive way. Could you repeat that again? You know, don't say, I can't hear you. I don't remember. I mean, I haven't got that written down perfect either, but I'm telling you, these are good ones not to confess. May sound petty, but I think you all appreciate me later. Can't see that. Oh, I can never imagine that. I can't imagine that. There's a powerful man of God, really good man of God. He went to Hawaii, and he saw this beautiful mansion on a cliff overlooking the ocean, you know, just, oh, so beautiful and splendid. He said, oh, I could never imagine having a place like that. And God spoke up on the inside right away and said, oh, don't worry, son, you never will. And it bothered me. He said, well, Lord, why'd you say that? He said, because if you can't see it or you can't imagine it, you'll never have it. Our imagination is a powerful tool that God gave us to work with our faith and hope to bring those things that he's given us into our life. That can't imagine ought to be dropped out of our vocabulary. Don't short circuit the, you know, with wrong words, you know, about imagination. Well, that just blows me away. There's a woman of God, I heard she told this testimony. She was listening to another man of God preach how God convicted him not to say that blows me away. And she got convicted at the same time. So she said, I'm going to quit saying that. That just blows me away. I'm quitting saying that. I don't know the exact amount of time, how long it was, but I think it was within the year this family was having a meeting down in Florida. And they're in a big convention center. She's like I am now with her Bible and her notes, you know, reading the study. She looks down and water's dripping on her Bible and her notes. She looked up, a tornado had come from supposedly nowhere, out of nowhere, wonder where that come from, straight toward the convention center, was ripping big sheets of metal off the roof, throwing them in the parking lot. She commanded that thing to stop in the name of Jesus. He spoke to that thing and it stopped. But there was damage done, and a lot of suction going on with that hole in there that went. They had a big elephant door over to the side, you know, those great big doors they can open up, you know, like rollaway doors, and and semis can drive in and out and load and unload stuff into the convocation center. And every bolt on every hinge was broken but one. If that would have gave way and that door swung through and went up through that roof, it could have taken her up there with it. But she had quit saying, "That blows me away." Interesting. So if you live anywhere where the wind's very high, you might want to drop that one too. Under the circumstance, we don't get under the circumstance, we're overcomers. Don't call diseases or problems yours. That's like signing for them. If the devil's coming to your door with a box of rattlesnakes, don't sign for them. Don't sign for it with your tongue saying that's yours. Say, "No, that ain't mine. That symptom ain't mine. I'm healed. I'm redeemed from the curse." Don't sign for them with your mouth. Seriously. Don't take the thought saying. If the thought's not from God, if it's bad, don't say it. Now, this is one that might bother y'all a little bit. You ever notice how much the word incredible is used? You know, like, "Oh, it's incredible." But the word incredible, a lot of people use it often. I did too, until I heard somebody tell me not to. Webster's dictionary says incredible. Says it means beyond belief. Here's another word that's attacking our believing. Another dictionary says not credible, impossible to believe, unbelievable. So if you say, "Pastor Rick, that was an incredible sermon you preached the other day," you're not really complimenting him, you know, but in light of these definitions. So that's a word we got used to saying a lot, probably a lot of us, you know. But people use that and unbelievable, like really big sales pitches for what they're selling, you know. Sports people, I watch a lot of sports, so I see that a lot. Again, I say, we don't need these words in our mouths. It could short circuit our believing in faith. James 3, 1 through 5, let's go to that one. We're getting closer to the end of the Bible flipping, I think. James 3, 1 through 5. Yeah, the King James says, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles." We don't want to kindle a fire for bad and burn up and destroy the forest of blessings that God has for us in our lives. Selah. We don't want to kindle a fire for bad and burn up and destroy the forest of blessings that God has for us in our lives. It's important. If we put God's word first place in our lives, it'll help us. Always stay on the life side of things. Never go crossways with the word of God or with God. Faith speaks the end victory before the battle begins, like David did in 1 Samuel 17. I love that. Ephesians 4:29. That's a good one for us if we will look that up. Ephesians 4:29. It's right by my bookmark. "Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth." Remember, words set spiritual laws in motion. Words are power, words are spirit. They set spiritual laws in motion. You can have what you say, good or bad. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Get death and fear out of your speech. We make the choice, life or death, by what we say. If a person speaks words of complaining and doubt, it'll defeat them. Someone said to complain is to remain. So if you don't want to remain in the situation, praise your way out of, like Paul and Silas did in the prison. Praise brought a great victory that day when they could have been complaining. Praise the Lord. Here are some more words of wisdom from Proverbs. You don't have to look these up. I'll read them for you. But these are just good words about words and our mouth. Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Proverbs 4:5-9, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. These treasures of wisdom are all in the word of God, living words of life." Proverbs 4:20-22, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all your flesh." Proverbs 4:24, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put a perverse lips far from you." Proverbs 6:2, "You're snared by the words of your own mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth." Proverbs 6:12, "A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth." Proverbs 6:17, "A proud look, a lying tongue, has that shed innocent blood. These are some of the things the Lord hates. Also, Proverbs 6:19, a false witness who speaks lies, one who sows discord among the brethren, you do that with words. Proverbs 7:4, say to wisdom, you're my sister, and call understanding, you're my nearest kin. Wisdom says in Proverbs 8:7, for my mouth will speak truth, wickedness is abomination to my lips. Proverbs 9:8-9, do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he'll be wiser still. That must be all you people. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10:18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. You don't repeat something if you don't need to repeat it. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 10:20-21, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. There are many more encouraging good words of encouragement in the Word, Proverbs, James, all throughout the Bible about our mouths and words. God gave us everything we need to be overcomers through Jesus and his Word with the help of the Holy Spirit. Remember to keep your mouth in line with the Word, not the world. Speak life to your life and situations. Win the battle in the mind, as 2 Corinthians says, to cast down imagination, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Then it will be easier for us to win with our mouths as we speak faith, life, and victory. Become more like Jesus in the process. Ask the Lord to help. He'll help you. He'll be delighted to. He loves you so much. Remember, keep the switch of faith turned on. Now we got a confession. Another confession. We only had one confession so far here, so we got another one. If anybody was ever that's here that ever said any wrong words, we can fix that right now with this confession. I'm one. If you repeat after me, if you'd like to do this, Father, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every negative word that I have spoken, every word that I have released that's been against your will and your plan for my life and the life of others. I ask you to forgive me for it. I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, from this day forward, give me understanding. Give me conviction from the Holy Ghost when I go crosswise to the Word of God. Help me. Give me the grace to say what you said in every situation. Help me be bold. Help me be strong. You said, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Now from this day forward, my words are not only going to make me free, but whoever I speak these words over, they shall be free indeed. I thank you for it. From this day forward, I shall win and never lose. I'll be on top and never under the bottom. I'm the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all I got. Next week, Lord, well, if the pastor will still let me speak next week, I'd like to pursue that a little bit further. And don't know exactly where all that's going, but I think it'll be good. It's going to be more about confessions. I think we'll move on up into the faith area a little bit. So you want to release these folks, or how do you do that?
Good stuff.